Like, degeneration is a declining generation. The reason people feel uncomfortable is because
God's calling them. They're not picking up the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like smoking, weed, drinking, all of that is so accessible. It's a monopoly of business.
Like, what's a cash out for you guys? At degeneracy just does not work logically in our heads. You gain something that you just simply did not earn, and that leaves your soul empty.
The question is, why is George being so quiet?
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be talking about embracing God and rejecting degeneracy. The reason why we came up with this topic is because we want to share our personal experience and our personal lessons to go away from living a degenerate lifestyle to embracing God and living in a more purposeful and meaningful life. Now, to define what degeneracy means is the state or property of being a degenerate, right? And degenerate, the word itself, is having lost the physical, mental, or moral qualities that are not godly and are showing a evidence of decline on personal development. So we all lived a lifestyle at some point of degeneracy, living in the world, being caught up with things that are just pleasure and that's not really serious in life. And these things really, put us in a decline of not really improving and not really, chasing our goal and chasing purpose and living a fulfilling life. It's just trying to fill some kind of void that and things that are just missing in your life, but it's never going to be fulfilling. It's just ups and then the downs the next day. It's very meaningless. So we want to definitely share, our insights on it and, give you guys a rundown on how you can turn your life around from being a degenerate to living a more meaningful life. So first we will kind of tell you what it is like to live a degenerate lifestyle and what it kind of looked like in our lives, right, Mike? Mm-hmm. What was it for you,
for example? So what's like living like a degenerate, being a drifter, drifting through life and stuff like that? The reason that we bring this up too is because it's just so important, because a lot of people are probably on the fence. Some people live one foot in, one foot out. They're halfway in on everything in life. And being a degenerate, the name is for itself. I almost think about it like this, like degeneration is a declining generation, which means like people are just declining. They're not improving. They're getting worse and worse and worse. But it's really just two paths. If you really look at it, it's either you're getting better or you're getting worse. So which path are you going to choose? You might get a little better, but you might get really worse. Like you kind of people compensate for that and they never really get anywhere in life. Like maybe they get a little bit better, then they get a little bit worse to compensate for, I get rewarded now. Since I worked out in the gym, I get to go smoke and drink on the weekends, and then they get worse. And then it's just like constant cycle. You never like went anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You're never like doing any progression like in life, because
you were saying,
working out is one thing, but then what about all the other things that you need to take care of in life in order to be successful, in order to have a fulfilling life and have the things that you set yourself to become, you know what I mean? So I was like that too. I was thinking like going to the gym was enough, or just reading a book was enough. But then all the other things, I didn't really devote time and energy into it, because it's like when you get in a cycle of just, making up excuses and not really thinking about life seriously, because you have to really take this stuff seriously. I feel like, in my personal experience, I would hang out with friends. I would just do things that were meaningless, things that just didn't really fulfill me. But at the moment, I was just in the moment thinking that it was doing something, but in reality, I was felt empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a way to live at all.
Like if I was talking to like my 15, 16, 17 year old self, like I really wish someone would have told me what goals were. Like, yeah, like we were taught in school about goals, smart goals, but no one ever set any goals. Like I was never like, okay, I'm going to get a B in this class as market period, or I'm going to get an A. Like I probably said it like once, like, oh, this market period, I'm going to lock in. I'm going to shape myself up. But then you just never really follow through with it. Or, okay,
just the necessary steps.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to start bulking. I'm going to start like eating like a lot more calories. And then the weight on the scale just hasn't moved in weeks now. And I'm like pretty much fasting, because I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing, and I'm just drinking.
You're not
eating
like committed,
out. Like, yeah, nothing. I'm not committed to anything. I think that's the most important thing too, is if I were to say to like my 16-year-old self, he'd be like, goals, like, what are you talking about? Like, that's just, and he would get like uncomfortable about it almost because of the fact that now he's to take responsibility. And I think it's a big part of taking that narrow path and going away from our degeneracy is responding to life, because the reason people feel uncomfortable is because life is calling them and they're not responding, which means they're not being responsible.
God's calling them. They're not picking up the phone.
Yeah, exactly. And those, that phone that it's ringing comes up as backed up emotions. Like, people try to...
Depression, anxiety even.
You're anxious because you're not taking action on the things that you know in the back of your mind you need to do. And during that whole process, like, yeah, like, oh, we're young, enjoy yourself and stuff like that. Like, I don't really get that at all. Like, this time, like, I'm young, therefore I should work super hard. Therefore I should try to be as disciplined as possible. Therefore I should try to get ahead as possible because I have the youth, right?
You're never going to get the time back. You're never going to have this energy. You're never going to have this drive that you do now, especially, and like, kind of not as much responsibilities since we're young in terms of family and stuff. Because one thing that I've heard from most of the people that talk about these topics are, when you have family, that's just a whole different responsibility. That's like, we think that what we're doing now is a lot of responsibilities, which is good. But then when you have family, it's a whole different thing that we haven't experienced, so we can't really speak on like much about it. But I think the idea is, when you really want to change your life around, you will do the necessary things in order to, you know, turn away from it. Because at the end of the day, if you're not, like you said, if you're not growing, you're really just going down.
You're dying.
Yeah. You need to do something to progress. So my suggestion would be to, number one, as I say to everybody, you need to have that realization point. You really have to understand that, okay, what kind of lifestyle am I living? And is there a better way to approach this? So take your life, kind of reflect on your day-to-day lifestyle, and write down the things that you do that are productive, and write down the things that are not productive that you would want to change. And then approach every single problem with a solution. So don't just take two of them and try to look for a solution for both. Take one problem at a time. Say you're scrolling too much, or you are addicted to drink and smoking. Take each one of them and decrease the addiction, decrease the attachment, the amount of times you consume such thing slowly, and then you will understand that your life is changing. And not just that, but you're doing something about it. Realizing is one thing, but doing something about it is when the change happens. You thinking that I need to change my life won't do as much. That's just an obvious one. Your body, your physical body responds to these stuff. You feel depressed, you feel anxious, you feel sad, you feel unfulfilled. You feel sad when you think things are supposed to make you happy, like drinking, smoking, supposed to make you happy, but in reality, it makes you sad. So it's like your body is giving you this signal, because I feel like God designed us in a way to, you know, talk to us even within our like physical creation, that when there's something wrong, it signals us, it gives us that calling, that signal, not just in our mind and in our soul, but actually our physical body reacting to such thing and signaling us that, okay, maybe you need to change this side. Maybe you need to pay attention to why you're feeling the way you are, because there's something to be worked on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So really listen to these type of stuff.
Was there like ever a moment like during that whole process, like with you guys, like you were like, you felt like you were stuck in like a trance, and like you just like kind of woke up and you're like, well, what was I doing these past couple of weeks or these past couple of days? Like, I felt like I just wasn't there.
Yeah. Here's the thing. For me personally, my biggest change happened after a breakup. So I was in a relationship for 8 months, and then the type of relationship that I was in, it was my first ever like serious relationship, and it felt like that's kind of like all I had. You know what I mean? That was the time when, you know, I really felt like, okay, I have somebody in my life. You know, I'm gonna marry this girl. Like, I really love her. But then the feelings were mutual when it was good. But then when things kind of went south, it was just like, it was very toxic, you know? It could get very toxic. And then things like that really make you question why you are with the person you're with. But then that subconscious attachment with that person is what's really messing you up even more. Like, you know that there's something to be worked on. There's maybe something that you might have to call it quits or just say, you know, we both go our ways with good terms, nothing against each other. It's just, you know, worry about like our own lives because this is the best thing for us. But then the attachment is so big that you don't, you never really find time to even talk about such problems that you have with each other. You just cope with it. And then the problem grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's calling you out more and more.
It's calling
to,
you, bro.
It's really calling you out to really confront the problem. And if the problem's not confronted and you don't respond to it, grows bigger to the point where then it bursts. And whenever you had the opportunity to part ways in good terms, you might part ways in a very bad term that you probably never would imagine would end that way. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I feel like with people like have their breaking points, stuff like that. Like, I mean, when I had like my really bad breakup, I went even down a path of more degeneracy. So it's like I went down that path even more and more, and I dug myself like an even bigger grave.
And thinking I had to, that you were doing something better, right?
Yeah, thinking that, oh yeah, like not like revenge, but just like oh, it's about me now. Like I'm gonna do whatever I feel like. And it's just I was just coping. That's just what it came down to.
Because as far as I know, like in your relationship, you were attached to this girl, kind of like same experience with me. And then when it happened, you felt like, okay, now this girl just left me. She doesn't care about me. So why should I care about other girls, or why should I care about somebody? So it's like, it's a defensive mechanism that we have sometimes that is almost animalistic, which is really what separates us from being human to an animal, is that we respond to emotions with how we feel rather than how, like, kind of detaching ourselves from emotions and looking at from a rational perspective. Is because somebody hurt you doesn't mean that you need to hurt another person now. Doesn't change your problem. It only makes you feel a certain way about yourself, which is the revenge. But in reality, you are still the same person. If anything, you're probably becoming more angry, more violent, more degenerate, more, I guess, just less of a human, more soulless person type of thing. You know what I mean? And we all had those type of moments where now we wanted to just get back at somebody to make them jealous or make them feel like, oh, I'm doing good in life just so they could see, or just so we can put up this facade that I am this person when in reality we know who we are.
And when it comes to like degeneracy and like the cost of it, like what is it really, if you keep being a degenerate over and over and over again, it's just gonna, like, you reap what you sow. So if you're constantly just, you're cashing out early, you're cashing out, you're earning things you did not earn yourself. Like, it's almost like,
for example,
like you're going to the drink, like you're going to the bar, or you're eating those treats and sweets, or you're hanging out with like friends, or you're sleeping in like when you didn't deserve it. When you didn't earn it at all, it's instant. Or you're watching, right? It's easy to just look up any girl that you want, right?
Right.
But you didn't earn it. You didn't have to go to war with other men for this woman.
Yeah.
100,000 men have probably seen her as
well. You didn't change your character to be the best version of yourself for her.
Yeah.
You didn't really put in any type of effort to, win that girl's heart by being a man. It's all constant because we live in such abundance. People take the abundance for granted, and taking these stuff for granted is what leads us to the degeneration. When people don't focus on putting in the work to get something, and they are kind of entitled to get something instantly, whether that be your parents' money, whether that be your friends just inviting you to places and stuff like that, because there's abundance, now you feel like it belongs to you, when in reality, you haven't done anything to earn it.
Yeah.
And things like smoking, weed, drinking, all of that is so accessible because it's such a, it's a monopoly of business. There's always going to be cigarettes. There's always going to be drinks. And I'll be honest, it's pretty affordable prices too. You know what I mean? Like a teenager can get it. You can get somebody on the street to say, yo, can you just buy this for me? You always have an older friend and stuff like that. These type of things lead to you now getting these things in your life and using that to escape in a whole different world that has nothing to do with the world that you're actually living in and the world that you're actually like really going after, or the relationship with the Lord that you are trying to establish here on earth, so you can have that everlasting life.
And like, there's a reason that degeneracy just does not work logically in our heads, because when I mentioned that you cash out early, you gain something that you just simply did not earn, and that leaves your soul empty. That's why you're empty, because you gave no effort, you gave no energy, but you got something.
You didn't
pour your energy into anything. You just gained a bunch of energy. Now you're just like you're full and you're suffocating. You're not like, it's delayed gratification versus instant, right?
Okay. Somebody works, they have a job, mm-hmm. they earn money, and then they go out and drink with their friends. They spend money into stuff like that. Like, what do you say to somebody that says, oh, I actually earned it. I actually went, worked.
Mm-hmm.
I go to my 9 to 5. I wake up early, and then I buy the stuff that I want, things mm-hmm. that I think I need to kind of pleasure myself with.
I mean, these people know if they're lying to themselves or not. Like, each of one of us knows if we're cashing out early or we're cashing out later, right?
Yeah.
We all know deep down in our hearts. Like, and that's when you get the phone call, right? That's when you're getting those emotions, you're getting that anxious feeling. If you're at the bar, you're drinking, and you start to get thoughts, or you feel a bit anxious, like, oh, I really shouldn't be here, I have something to do at home. You cashed out too early, right? That's what that means. Or when, let's say, like, you're dieting and you're trying to build a physique, and crumble cookie looks really good out there, but you're like, no, but I'm trying to cut, I'm trying to shred, whatever it is.
And then you go and
do it, and you feel like shit after, you cashed out too early. So you got to listen to the response you get in life, and you got to listen to the phone calls and messages that you get from your internal system and God himself, right? So that you know when you cash out early or when you delay it. Because, I mean, for me personally, like, something for me that would be example of like a cash out would be if I don't really know.
Like right now, or
like, okay, like what's like a
early cash out?
Yeah, like what's a cash out for you guys, you think?
Dude, I'll be honest, if I set a goal to do something, okay, ready? I am gonna do work first, and then I will find time to go and hang out with my friends, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens is that because I am so excited to see my friends, I lay back the work, meaning I delayed the work that I need to do, and I go and hang out and have a good time with them. When I come back home, I realize that I cashed out too early.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was the work? Where's the work? Now it's work set up for the next day that I should have done before I hang out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really control how much time you spend with your friends, because, it, you know, especially when you having a good time with friends and stuff, then, you know, the work is not a priority, which sucks. And when you come back home, that's when you really get the realization point even more that, all right, like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a cash out for me, or like early cash out.
Like for me personally, it would probably be like watching like either like a new like
binge
anime series
or something
like that. Okay. Yeah, binging okay. For me, like it has to be like if I've completed something or not. But if I'm literally just like bored, or like I have stuff to do, but I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna put it off.
Procrastinating.
Like, dude, like even if I'm watching a series, I can't enjoy it because of the fact that there's something in the back of my mind telling me, hey, like you have to do this. You set this out for yourself, but you're a liar. Like
yeah.
you're lying to yourself. Like, come on. And it's right. Not a bad thing. Like, I almost imagine it like if you were like playing like a video game, like you have like this guidance system next to you, like following you around, be like, where are we going? Oh, your goals are XYZ, or you should go here or go there, or hey, don't stay away from that cave, stay away from these women, or stay away from that crowd though.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what they do, and you still do it anyway, and they're like, no, like what are you doing? It's like your own mind telling you.
And it's the same idea with the Holy Spirit guiding us and God speaking to us,
yeah,
in our
hearts. Call it the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When you what's it called? When you are doing things that are not the path that God put you on. Now, this is where it gets complicated, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the further you go down into turning your back from God is more you don't even hear that calls anymore. You know what I mean? And that's probably the worst place you can ever be, is you actually have the capacity to go down in a rabbit hole so deep down that these phone calls, these, you know, conscious callings are there, but it's just nowhere loud to what it used to be. When you first start doing bad habits, you're like, all right, this is okay. Then at some point, you realize that it is not okay. Something has to change, or I need to really reduce it because I'm going too crazy on this. And then once you justify your actions and really cope with your habits, even though you know it's bad, the further you go down, the further the way back to, you know, your old self, who was a little bit more productive, is. So you can't really ignore these callings. You can't ignore the depression you feel, the anxiety, because take these signs as a good thing. Don't victimize yourself saying, I'm depressed, therefore I am a victim. Don't say because you feel sad that now you've gone through something that other people are not going through. There's always something that we are going through that is bad, but somebody always has it worse. Somebody always has it better, sure. But then you have to look at it in a perspective that I'm not the only one that's struggling. You know what I mean? And I think that's the perfect example with Jesus Christ, is that you find that personal connection with somebody who has gone through all this suffering, has gone through these emotions, has gone through everything that you go through, everything that we go through in our day-to-day basis. So when you have that connection with the Lord, you really understand that you're not alone in this at all. You can always go to somebody. You can always go to somebody to talk to him. And that's the thing with prayers too, is when you pray and you really want an answer and you seek for an answer and you wait for an answer, you really get an answer back. You don't just have somebody respond to you if you don't make a call to them. Like, let's say an easy example, right? You want to call your friend. If you don't pick up the phone and put their number in there and call them, how are they going to respond? The call doesn't go through. Where's the respond? Just take this example as if you're really trying to call somebody. Knock and it will be open. Ask and it shall be given to you. If you don't take the initial step, you won't get the response. And the more beautiful thing is, he came down from heaven on earth. We didn't have to do it. He did it first. And now you can even make a call, type of thing. You know what I mean? And here's another thing too. He's calling us every day. The fact that you wake up is a blessing itself. You woke up. He called you to do something. So make the best out of it. And really, you know, respond to those calls, respond to those callings, because it's there for a reason. If you feel like something's not right, that means it is not right. Something's not right. Because there are moments where you feel like, all right, things are aligned. Things are in order. I'm feeling good. I'm doing something that I'm supposed to be doing. You feel it. Like, nobody can tell you otherwise. You know what I mean? And this isn't you, like, trying to justify your actions or anything like that. No, this is an actual, like, feeling that you're going through, and you know this is the right feeling. Now, when there's a contrary to this, which is, I think there's a better approach to what I'm doing now. Yeah, maybe there is. So look for it. Especially as men, bro, we need to really have that solving problem mindset. Like, we really have to have, okay, there's a problem. Let me find the solution, right? This might not work with everything. Sometimes you really need to just, you know, be still and let the water kind of clear. But then there are some times where it's like, all right, there's a problem. How do I solve this? How do I get my life in order? Because there's always something that you can do to get the life in order by taking the step forward. If you don't take the step forward, the second and the third step just won't appear like that. It's a stepping stone, bro. You can't jump to the fifth step or the 10th step if you don't take the first four steps until the fifth one. So don't skip the steps. Don't try to expect something quick. Just really take the little steps, and you will really see the path is actually, you actually see the path. You actually see the stepping stones. And when you start living this lifestyle, then it becomes a habit of, okay, there's a problem. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to. This feels something different. I feel something different. is what I meant to say. All right, go and change that. Do something about it.
And the thing with degeneracy, like how we can start like stepping away from it slowly but surely is simply just the opposite of it, which is pursuing effort, is giving your energy, because it's crazy how it works. It's almost like God gives us energy to do things. And the more that we outpour ourselves into other people, into our projects, into our work, the more faster we get filled up too. You know what I'm trying to say? Like we pour energy into other people, we give out effort, we work really hard, and we get fulfilled from that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really chasing, is that feeling of fulfillment and delaying gratification. Because you don't just delay, like, it's not just like, oh, it's all pain and suffering. Like, no, you actually get rewarded for delaying and you get fulfilled for that. You get rewarded for the effort and energy that you put into the universe. Yeah. God created all this for us to use wisely. That's why there's only two paths. The path of least resistance or the path of effort.
Exactly. And the path with effort is the resistance path, because it's the path that's resisting. Therefore, you have to put in the effort. If you don't want to put in the effort, now you end up being on the other side, which is the less resistance path, that you can almost do anything. That's what degeneration itself is. What happens when you go down? What happens when you don't progress? You don't do nothing that's really effort, that requires effort. Otherwise, you would be going somewhat up.
I feel like the people who are like kind of in the middle are like kind of, they're like in a worse position than the people who are just far off in either degeneracy one. Because they choose to kind of almost like tease themselves. They I'm going to do a little bit of effort, and then, but I'm going to go crash out and drink this weekend, or yeah, I'm going to go self-sabotage myself, like, willingly, versus the degenerates who are just like kind of blind. They're just like, why would I want to put effort? Why would I, you know what I mean? I'm just going to, like, at least they made up their mind, right? At least they made their decision. Other than the fact that, like, these people who are like on the fence are just like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're the people who are like, who
can at least know the good side of it too.
Yeah.
I mean, not that the people who choose to live a degenerate lifestyle don't really know the other side, but it's like they haven't even gone to the point where their 1 foot is in the good lifestyle type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like all in to the bad thing. It's like they're both bad, obviously, but it's just when you're lukewarm and you're like in the middle, you're really just feeding yourself the dopamine and really coping, saying, I'm doing something productive. That's like, just self-deceit. Mm-hmm. That's like how I look at it.
The people who are like on the path of degeneracy, like at least like ignorance is bliss for them, right? Like they don't really even want to touch the other side. But people who do both sides, like they're 1 foot in, 1 foot out, they're giving, they're half-assing their life, yeah, like little by little. It's like they know the taste of both sides, and they're flip-flopping, right? So it's like either choose one or the other at that point, you know what I mean? And it's either, like I said, it's either you're getting better or getting worse. But if you're in the middle, you're not getting really any better, right? You're mostly just, if you're on the fence, that fence is for the people who are on the degenerate side. It's for the devil.
It is, yeah. And that's the thing, though. I feel like the very funny example to the fence is that, like, okay, ready? So you're in the middle. And here's the thing with that analogy. I think it can just be used for a short term. It's never something that you can really consistently walk on that defense, like as if you're perfectly 50-50 on each side. You're always on one side more than the other. So if something is really good and you know it's good, or at least you know that it leads to fulfillment, purpose, meaning, but it's hard, but then you know it's also good. Like that's what brings fulfillment. That's what brings purpose and meaning. Why aren't you on it? That means you're compromising because you have the attachment, the addiction to the things that you don't want to let go. That's why, like the biblical example of the lukewarm, God says that if you're a lukewarm, I will spit you out of the mouth. This just simply means that whatever it is that you are trying to compromise is that you know the good side, you also know the bad side. But because of you really having that attachment to the devil's tricks and the pleasure, the dopamine, these addictions, you don't want to let go of that because of how good it feels. So you're pretty much trying to deceive God and saying, I know these good things that you have given me, these meaningful things and this purposeful lifestyle that you have given me the vision for, but I think I got I got this, you know? I'm going to be on both sides, but at the end of the day, I am going to choose the good side. It's like a self-deceit. But then when things go, all right, it's done. Judgment. Where are you at? Where are you at? You're not there. You're not there either. Well, actually, fence cut out. Devil's side. It's scary, but it's very true.
And it fortunately, too, I mean, no, unfortunately, like people, it's conformity plays a huge part in all of this because now we have social media and the internet, which we allow people to kind of see what everyone's doing, see what everyone's up to, see where the crowd is swaying towards.
Yeah.
And people easily conform to that in the comment section and trends with certain news, media. And these things are easily controlled. And if you really think about it, like you don't even think for yourself nowadays. Like, I feel like the people who are going down the path of degeneracy, they don't even think for themselves. Because, I mean, when I think about myself a while ago, like I said, I felt like I was in like a trance. Like I was being controlled. Like I felt like I wasn't in control of my own life. I did not want to take responsibility. I was a feather in the wind. I gave what to do to other people, like my response, like, oh, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just conforming, being a sheep.
Yeah.
Right. And there comes a point where you just kind of, you stick your head up from the flock of sheep. And you're like, guys, what are we doing here? Like you wake up and you like see the light almost. Right. I'm not saying I got like some crazy revelation, but I hit a point where I'm just like, this is sick to me. Like, this is like, I feel gross. I hate myself. I don't want to be like this. I feel like there's more to life. And like, fortunately too, for social media, like there's the bad side, but it's also the good side. We get to see people who
have snapped out
of it. Our leaders who have snapped out of it, who have good intentions and stuff. And then that's why it's like we create a platform in the first place to want to give our energy to other people, pour out ourselves, and to give as much value as possible to people who want it, people who want to go down the path of effort and fulfillment and purpose. Exactly. And so
that's what our podcast is kind of like helping people to do, is them seeing this very different side of where all the people are going. So they at least have an opportunity to watch us, hear us, and see that, okay, maybe there is this different side to what I want to at least consider. Forget about right away transforming yourself into saying, all right, you know what? I'm going to live the lifestyle that these guys are living, or I'm going to try to live a more meaningful lifestyle. It's like, that's very hard for you to do. You got to really have, like you said, like a very strong revelation, which doesn't always happen. And that's why when you at least consider something, you're open-minded to, that means that you already see some kind of flaw into the lifestyle that you're living. Therefore, you're trying to better your lifestyle. You always have to be like that. You always have to be a student. Everything that you hear, you have to take it as a grain of salt, and you have to consider it just for the sake of being open-minded and learning more. Because if you already know what somebody else is saying and you don't want to listen to them anymore, therefore, what's the point of you even listening to anybody at all? Why don't you claim to be the person who already knows everything, who has everything? Just lay back and do nothing, if that's the case, you know what I mean? So that's why that mindset just doesn't work in as a lifestyle. If you already have made up your mind about things, just call it quits about that specific topic. Say you know everything and educate other people if you really know that much, if you don't want to listen. So you always have to be very open-minded and considerate to what other people have to offer you. Because here's the thing, we can either be sitting here and bullshitting these people and lying to them, or we can actually be here, sitting here and, you know, giving them some kind of solution or providing them with some kind of, I would say, some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I blanked. Okay, some kind of framework or a blueprint on how to take next step to developing their life and progressing it in their life. And the thing is, you thinking that we are just here bullshitting might be missing out on the actual aspect on what we're here to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we can just start talking about like things that we can do lessons that I would have given to myself when I first started kind of taking those steps away from degeneracy. But some people might think, okay, like what do you go towards then? Like, cause it's, if it's just effort, like no, effort towards what? effort towards building yourself, right? Personal development, effort towards learning more about the world, learning more about your gifts, learning more about God, the most important thing that we want to go towards, because yeah. God created everything. Why wouldn't you want to have a relationship with the Creator? But what I would do is take baby steps, because everyone is on their own journey. But for me personally, it was small shifts over long periods of time that helped me get to where I am today. I completely stopped weed and alcohol like easily, just like that for me personally. But I still had things like I was very distracted. I was very insecure still. I just had like a lot of like weaknesses that came out of me that I had to deal with, those problems, those notifications that I had to start dealing with.
Yeah.
And so
you had to go through the text.
Exactly. And I can't solve it all in one night. It takes time. That's why I feel like everyone needs to be on a journey of some sort of personal development, developing some sort of area, fixing yourself, becoming a better man, becoming a better person for the other people around you. So I would suggest like just baby steps, like getting clean, yeah. cleaning your room, making your bed, drinking more water, going outside, cutting off friends. Cutting off friends, cutting off those people who are draining you. Like for me personally, like after high school, I kind of just like went ghost a while, like for a while. Just like I didn't talk to anyone, I didn't hang out with anyone.
Yeah.
I was just like just trying to figure out like what the heck I'm doing. I was doing entrepreneurship, I was trying to get big in the gym, I was thinking about making content, stuff like that, like back in like 2022. And I was just
the year when you started making rap music, or
no? That was way before. That was like way 16 before, years like, old.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, though, I was just trying to figure it out, and that's what you really have to do. Like, I can't sit here and tell you what your journey is going to look like. All I can do is give you advice. I mean, because we're on the same path, but everyone's journey is different. Everyone's journey is towards getting closer with God is different, right? Yeah. Everyone has to take their own steps, whether that be a big step, baby step, whatever it is. As long as you're moving forward.
Yeah, that's why it's called a personal relationship with God, is because it's very personal. It's very like you. He meets you where you are. He knows where you are. Therefore, obviously, he's going to take you on the path that you need to go on to find your purpose, not anybody else's. That's why trying to ever find what other people's purpose are feels unfulfilling. They might be successful, they might have all the money in the world, but if you try going after their purpose, whatever's not yours will never be with you. So that person can be a millionaire from a specific business, but you might put your hands on that business and become so depressed and not even have the money. Or have the money, but be very depressed. Just because it just doesn't feel right to you. You don't feel like it's yours. It's a very interesting thing that I think that we've observed, especially with social media. I feel like we really got those stats and people sharing their insights on the fact that like there's so many people that are millionaires and are suicidal. I think that's the number one thing that has to open up your eyes to way more things than money. Even though you might be spending your whole life trying to attain something that at the end of the day leads to nothing. The money's good and everything, but it's just not everything. That's when you need to differentiate. It's something, it's not everything. It's never going to be everything that you need. Because when money's there and you have a sufficient amount of money, what do you do with it? Now you really, and that's just how humans work. When you have a lot of one thing, now your mind thinks about, okay, what is it that I don't have that I want to have? You know what I mean? And this doesn't have to go into very materialistic needs, but this definitely, can also open your mind to what is it that I need spiritually? What is it that my soul and my mind is not at peace with? And that's when God comes in the picture, is that when you got the materialistic things that the world gives you, the abundance from the world, is where is something that fulfills you without the need of the materialistic things, right? When you're at the church, you don't necessarily think about money. You don't think about the car. You really don't. You just focus on one thing, and that's God. It's glorifying God, talking to God, being there with God, and asking Him to communicate to you with the Word of the Bible and with His Holy Spirit. And you feel it when you go there and you take that step to showing up at a place where that's supposed to be, that's supposed to happen, is you get it. You asked for it, and then you showed up to it, you put the effort. Yeah, it happened. The resistance was, I don't feel like going. Well, let me go there. Put in the effort, shall receive. So anything that is worthwhile, needs effort to be put in there. And my question is, why has Georgie been so quiet?
Yeah, you got something to say, George?
Georgie's just been listening, I guess.
Yeah, I was just listening, to be honest. Dude, I
how long agree has with this you been? 40 minutes?
Yeah.
It's just me and Mike cooking. Speaking.
Yeah, I was just listening, thinking about it. Because to be honest, it's like most of what he went through, we went like together and stuff. To be honest, like, I don't want to sound like, oh, I was a good guy, but I was never into like the drinking, smoking and stuff like that. So I don't really have like stories of like the degenerate stuff. I would probably say big things were pornography and like listening to like really, really degenerate music and having like toxic friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just video games and wasting time with like a bunch of my friends on weekends. That's all, to be honest. Because the rest of the times I would actually be like working out and stuff. I would actually like do judo every single day, work out twice a day. Even when you had your girlfriend, remember, like I would always go to the gym. I would even call him like, let's go. But sometimes like he wouldn't come because he had to hang out with her. So it's like, I was not really on that type of path where I would like put something aside for judo. I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can confirm that too. Like I would always be like training and stuff. But I think it was mostly of me conforming to the world and just seeing like a bunch of trends on like social media with like even video games, and I'd be like, oh, new item came out Fortnite, let me go play, you know what I mean, stuff like that, or like new music and stuff like that. I think the bad part in it was the fact that I was just sometimes getting lost of my like habits that I was supposed to do that helped me. That personally I found balance when I start to realize how behind I was getting with everything, you know what I mean? Like once you grow up and you start thinking about like, look, I'm already growing up right now, I need to start getting my life in order. Then you start thinking about things like, oh, like this is what I used to do and this is what I don't need to do anymore. And I feel like if you're a smart person and if you really like truly want to change your life, like you'll just find those problems because if you really think about it, sit down with yourself and think about what I need to change, you'll find them like simple. The thing is, people don't want to think. People just don't want to acknowledge the things that they're doing wrong because it's scary. You know what I mean? They would rather just be okay with anything
because it's like fixing the reality,
fixing it for a little bit. Yeah, like saying, look, I didn't watch porn today. I didn't watch it for a week, but guess what? It's fine if I watch it like once because at least I don't watch it every single day anymore. And then you see other people that don't watch it at all, and it like makes you question like, how is this possible? And then you get that motivation. And it's also one thing I want to mention is it's being with the right people and what's it called? Following good content too, like on social medias, right? And then like there are people that watch podcasts, there are people that are trying to educate themselves, which I was doing that, to be honest. Once I got off that path of like degeneracy and self-improvement, I started watching podcasts. In that podcast, you hear a lot of things that then makes you question a lot of things and makes you realize
a lot of things. It opens up your mind, right?
Exactly, yeah. So when I started listening to that stuff and I started changing my habits, I started, you know, getting smarter with the information of what actually, like how I was in Matrix. Like that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. People are in Matrix. That's why they're not able to. That's why they see someone do something and they're like, "Well, guess like he's doing it. Why can't I do it?" You know what I mean? They start like following. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So once you get out of that, then you start
seeing. Yeah, raise your head from the flock, man. Everyone's heads are down and a bunch of sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look up,
dude. Because even with some people, like if I question them on some of the things that they're doing that I like generally don't even understand, is I tell him, yo, like, okay, what's the point of doing it? He says, just to do it. What kind of answer is that, right? And then when I ask him, okay, what's the actual reason behind it? They go, there's no reason behind it. I just do it. So you saying that I just do it is an answer, but it's just the type of answer that it's not thought about. You didn't think about it. You just do it because you heard somebody else do it. You saw somebody else do it. You're in a habit. You're in a conformed world. That's why you do it. You don't do it
because of nothing. Nothing doesn't come from nothing. Something causes something. You know what I mean? So there's always cause and effect. So because of you having, being conformed into the world and doing the things that other people are doing, which is your circle, you start to pick up on those habits and you start to develop those habits to the point where now it's in your subconscious and it's a habit. It's just like how there's a good habit, there's also a bad habit. And here's the thing, when somebody asks you, when you wake up, how come you just go to the bathroom and brush your teeth? I probably wouldn't be able to just give them full on answer saying, yo, I actually give myself this motivational speech before I pick up my toothbrush and brush my teeth. No, it's not like that. It's a habit. But I was sure in a situation where I had to really tell myself, hey, like, you need to brush your teeth. You know what I mean? But then it became such a habit that it was a lifestyle. I don't need to tell myself why I'm brushing my teeth. I'm doing it because, you know,
it needs to be done.
It needs to be done. Something like that. Yeah. So
these are your standards, right?
Exactly. And it is a higher standard than doing things that are, I guess, more meaningless.
We could talk about standards too, because like if someone were to offer me weed, I would just be like, why would I ever do that? Like, yeah. And that's like my standard now versus me a couple of years ago, I'd be like, hell yeah. Like give me that shit, bro. Like, yeah, I want to do that. But I wouldn't really know why I wanted to do it. And it's these standards that you really have to set for yourself. And like I said, it takes baby steps, but it's slowly but surely raising the bar for yourself and reaching that bar through your actions, not just thinking and wishing about it, but actually acting it out.
Yeah. And to be honest, go ahead, George.
I was going to say you need to start saying no to things. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a big thing with the young generation now is since they have a lot of time to spare, and anyone, if their friend calls them or something, the answer is most likely like always yes, which then takes time away from them thinking, being alone,
questioning what they're doing.
I feel like, yeah, finding that purpose, which is only through like with yourself, like you really need to sit down and think about it. And also, like when you are with your friends and you're just having fun, you're subconsciously or consciously, I don't know.
Unconsciously.
Yeah, unconscious. Like you're not really thinking about those stuff. Because you're good at the moment, right? And then it's already time for you to go to sleep and you're already thinking about, I have to wake up and go to school. But when you come back from school, then they'll call you again and see, like, you just keep getting away from that. You
never get time to think at all,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. You just never get time to, think about that.
Make your own decision because everyone's making a decision for you. Yes, come over here, bro. Fortnite. No. Don't do your homework. Let's play Fortnite now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But then in the back of your mind, you know that you need to actually do your homework in order to get a grade and in order to at least do something that is productive than just playing a video game. Because look, if you're going to play a video game, sure, for a little bit. But then when it takes away too much time from all the other things, then at that point, it's not anything fun. At that point, it's not anything that you enjoy. If anything, it's just straight up addiction. Straight up addiction. And you escape from that addiction by increasing the dose of that specific
other addictions
thing.
Or other addictions.
Dude, let's just think about it. Let's actually gamify this a little bit because, like I said, it's like a calling that you get.
Yeah.
You're playing video games right now and you're getting the call. Yo, homework. You have to get better grades. You've been really slacking. But then this notification that you have going off, you kind of like, you press the X button. Like, no. I don't want to do that. You press the X button. You're back to your video games. It goes again. Oh, hey, but it's even louder this time. Hey, you have to get this done. This is your next quest that you have to do.
Yeah.
Same with other things like waking up early.
Coming into the room and saying, you need to do your homework. And you go, I'll do it. And then,
you get like feelings and emotions or just like signs and stuff like that, that you have to do this thing. And that's what you're being called towards. And don't ignore those signs at all.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's why I mentioned the whole like sign thing and stuff, because everybody has it, bro. Every single person that I've talked to, there's always this side of them that you can really see and understand that they have that feeling that's bothering them in a way to change, but it's just the barriers that they put out in front of them that makes it even more difficult. At the end of the day, everybody knows that it's hard to change, but then they make it even harder by setting up barriers in their own life. So that's why I would suggest to read Atomic Habits. If you're ever going through a challenge to discipline yourself or set up the habits to better your life, please, please read Atomic Habits. Order the book right now instead of spending money in V-Bucks or weed, vape. Order that book and read it. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life because it really changed my life. The little things, the title gives it away, Atomic Habits. The little habits that you set for yourself will assure you going towards that thing becoming a lifestyle before you even know it. There are things like, okay, one of the barrier of you eating more healthy is the fact that your pantry looks like there's actually bad stuff in there. Cookies,
cereal,
yeah. A lot of processed sugar stuff, the protein chocolate, drinks.
Fair life. The gym bros have the Fair Life.
all these stuff that you need to cut out. And the thing is, once you stop buying these stuff and once you move them out of your sight, slowly but surely you will understand that you don't even crave it. You just forget about it. The reason why you're even thinking about it is because it's there in front of you. Of course you will think about it. You see it with your eyes. Now it's in your mind and you're like, oh, I have this at home. And it's so easy to just go downstairs and grab it. But then the barrier of not having it is you having to go drive to the store, buying it, bringing it home, and then eating it. It's like 3-4 barriers now you set before you even attain something that you know is not good for you. So that's just one example. And then there's the little micro things that you can change in your life that will, manifest itself into becoming a complete lifestyle of not even thinking about it. You're just doing it because you know it's going to bear fruit in the long term.
No, it's another thing with mind. It's actually crazy, especially when it comes to food. Is what I've noticed is your mind starts to ask you for desserts and maybe like Sprite or all this, like even...
soda.
Even like fast foods, right? Let's just say. You might want it for a little, and then like literally after 1 hour, your body might not even ask for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's that little times that your body like almost like asks you because your body's just used to getting them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I eat chocolate every single morning, my body's gonna automatically ask me for chocolate, not because it really needs it or it really wants it, just used to getting that The substance.
Who said that?
I said.
Remember we were watching this.
Luke, right?
Yeah, Luke Belmore was saying that to, you know, Fresh and Fit, right? And on their podcast, there's Myron and then the other guy. I forgot the other guy's name. But he was pretty much trying to get advice from Luke Belmore was there, Nate Belmore was there, and so was Tristan Tate. And he was pretty much asking them for the advice on how to, you know, clean up his diet and, you know, because he would eat McDonald's apparently so much and stuff every day, that kind of stuff. And one of the things that Luke questioned him on saying, he was like, yo, when was the last time you fasted? When was the last time you actually went hours without eating food? And he told him, what if the fact that you feel hungry is not you actually needing food to survive, but it's just the fact that you have addiction towards food? You know what I mean? That's probably the worst thing. Having addiction towards food is you now being an animal. Like that's what pigs are. Pigs just eat anything. You put a foot down in front of them, they'll eat it. Same with fish. Like if you just put food in there in the tank, no matter how much you put in there,
hungry,
they will eat it.
Yeah,
because it's because exactly. And it will end up.
That's why I said mind is just a very powerful thing.
Yeah,
you can really make your mind want fast food, and you're gonna get it because you kept feeding,
and you're addicted.
You keep feeding that in your head that oh, I want fast food. That obviously your mind's gonna ask you. Another thing with that is, your mind's always gonna ask for chocolate and all these sweets, but it doesn't mean you have to give it to your. Like, you don't have to conform to your mind either. You know what I mean? Just because your body asks you doesn't mean it's always necessary for you to give what he asks. I mean, like.
Yeah.
It's
say no to your body. Discipline your body.
Exactly, yeah. Like, Back when quarantine actually ended is time when I stopped eating like chocolate, because I would eat like every day. I would eat ice cream too.
Yeah, you were pretty chubby on your face.
Chubby on my face, because I would eat like ice cream every single day.
Mm.
But then I had to discipline myself and eat it like once a week, just once a week. And then I slowly stopped,
because my body wouldn't even
ask me anymore. Like, the desire for wanting ice cream wasn't there anymore. I would eat it whenever like I really wanted it. You know what I mean? Not because my mind like told me, oh, you need to, like, I want ice cream. You know, like, it was my mind that was tricking me to like, because I was eating it so much that it was addiction already. It wasn't something that I really wanted. And I wouldn't enjoy it as much as, because when I stopped eating it and then I would only eat it like once a while, then it would like feel so much better. Because then it was like a more natural feeling than just like addiction.
Yeah.
It's just so complex.
Hyperpalatable food?
Yeah. I'll read the definition. Hyperpalatable foods combines high levels of fat, sugar, sodium, and or carbohydrates to trigger the brain's reward system, encouraging excessive eating. This is the biggest cash out right here. You're cashing out on just like, it's like eating. McDonald's. It's like you're eating your reward that you didn't earn.
Bro, there's some foods that how do I approach just eating them?
I'm just thinking right now, because here's the thing. I feel like if it becomes a habit of just eating fast food, yeah, you're just cashing out on things too quick, because you're not caring about your body. You're not caring about your health. If you're eating that food every day, you're really cashing out too early, bro. You don't care about your body. You don't care enough to discipline yourself and eat healthier food. Dude, you know what's another thing? When you look into the rabbit hole of these big companies and big franchise like McDonald's, Burger King, Gatorade, Coca-Cola, the things they do is so smart to the point where you don't even think about it until you know the information on it. This is what I mean. You drink Coke and you don't even know where the craving comes from. And by that time, you're going to another store buying another can of soda. You don't even know where it's coming from. You just like it. Now, when you actually look into it, and I'm not giving credit to myself, I'll be honest. I will give it to Nate Belmar, the man who deserves it. He said it. And then he said, the reason why soda has so much sodium, is because it makes you more thirsty. When it makes you more thirsty, you want to drink more, right? And the reason why Coke and sodas have so much sugar is not because, oh, they just wanted to put a lot of sugar because sugar is addicting. Better. Yes, it's one of them for sure. But then there's multiple reasons what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's also because sugar is addicting. But in order for them to cover up all that sodium, which is salty, they had to put a lot of sugar in there. So it's a win-win situation. Sodium makes you thirsty, a lot of sodium. Now they want to cover it up so it tastes good and also addicting. Sugar is addicting. Gatorade, I heard that. And when I heard Luke Belmar say this, is he said, you know what they do with Gatorade? They warm it up. They put it in a plastic when it's warm, hot, actually. So apparently plastic, when you pour something hot in plastic, it releases the molecules and stuff into the plastic that makes
the microplastics.
The microplastics. And I'm pretty sure that makes it more like addicting or...
No, microplastics not, just like clog everything. It gives you brain fog. That's it.
Oh yeah, exactly. And what I'm trying to say with this stuff is you don't even think about it. And I'm like, okay, maybe he's saying this because he made it up. So I was like, all right, I have to search this up. I'm like, why would they pour hot Gatorade in a plastic bottle and then put it in the fridge if we're supposed to drink it? What's it called? Cold, right? But then it'll make sense. It said, yes, they actually put hot Gatorade into it. Because look, when something's colder, right? One, obviously tastes better than when it's warmer. But then at the same time, I also... Okay, so if you take a cold chocolate and a hot chocolate, like, I mean, a chocolate that is warmed up, melted. You actually feel it's more sweet, right? Yeah. But when it's cold, you don't really feel the sweetness as much, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, same thing with these things.
Like, you don't feel that sugar, maybe, because it's a cold.
Yeah.
You just taste the cold and you don't...
Because you want the cold, your body craves the cold when you're especially working out or in the summer and all that kind of stuff. You don't even feel it, but so much sugar that, 35 grams, bro? Or sometimes more.
Doesn't matter, bro.
Yeah, when Michael bought that drink from cafe yesterday. It had 38 grams of sugar, bro, in this small bottle. It's crazy. 38 grams.
And serving sizes are...
Yeah. It was this small.
And serving size is one bottle, too.
Something like
some of them. It depends.
Like less than, like up to here, at least. No, even less. Like right here, 38 grams. There's this much. And the bottle was, you know how it's designed, like where it's here and then it's like very thin on top, makes it long, makes you think like it's a lot, but it's actually not. Dude, I'm telling you, like, it was probably not even 16 ounces.
Yeah, that'll spike your with blood
this,
sugar.
Yeah, crazy. With this point, I like what we want to really.
Cookie on top of it.
What we really want to plan in your mind with this example is not. To like necessarily actually I'm gonna say straight up what we really want by giving you all these examples is that when you feel like you're addicted to something, really question why you're addicted to the things you're addicted. You shouldn't be addicted to anything, in my opinion. Like, yeah, you love something, you shouldn't be addicted to it, because addiction is mindless actions that your body is controlling you and you're not free of your decisions. That's what addiction straight up is. It's not because you love it so much. It's not because,
because you can have those things every once in a while. You just have to be able to control it when the time comes. You know what I mean? Like, for example, when you drive by a fast food and you literally just got out of the gym, like when you're able to control your body, there's nothing that can like, that you will pull up to the driveway. You will not, because you know, you're telling yourself, I'm not going to do it. But when you don't have that self-control, then you pull into that driveway and you order a Big Mac.
And then regret it later. Because you
regret it later, yeah.
You feel...
just can't do anything about one, it.
Because you feel really controlling you. Bloated. You feel like you have no energy, even though all you ate was just calories, no nutrients, nothing like that. Very unhealthy food. Processed food.
Bro, you know what's the best thing?
Ultra processed food.
People that work out, they need to start making food by themselves. They need to start learning how to cook, bro. That is the best thing ever. When people do not know how to cook, the only option they have really, especially when they're like old enough to, you know, not to ask their mom, oh, can you make me food? Can you make me food? Is to go out and order a meal or go and get a...
fast food.
Get drive-thru. Fast food, yeah, from drive-thru. Because they have no other option. I mean, they're hungry. Like, I feel bad for them. Like, really, I really do. Because when you're hungry, you don't really care what you're going to get. You just want food.
And when people say, I don't know how to cook.
Exactly. But it's, dude, you can literally search up on TikTok, on YouTube, on Instagram, anywhere. They literally give you like a whole recipe of how to make things. And there are so many things that you can make. Because then look, ready? Another excuse comes up. Oh, I don't have time. Now, look, now they're complaining about time. Right, and then you give them another solution that, oh, it's easier to make. Now they go like,
well,
I don't really have money to buy those stuff. But you do have money to buy McDonald's, Burger King, all this stuff.
They're just lazy, bro.
Exactly. So it's all excuses. Obviously, like, I don't fall for those excuses that they say. But, I mean, like, the simplest thing is people need to start learning how to cook. And then they will balance their diet. And then once they already start tasting the foods that they make by themselves, which are really good. I'm pretty sure anyone can really make a food that they're going to enjoy. That's going to be better than McDonald's. Like, better than McDonald's.
All right, how easy is it to fry eggs and ground beef, bro? It's probably the easiest thing.
Less than 10 minutes.
Less than 10 minutes, and it's easy. All you have to really do is oil, ground beef in the pan, just mix it until...
ground beef takes 7 minutes.
It's cooked. Exactly.
7 minutes.
Dude, sometimes even less, like, depending on how high you're cooking it in. And your eggs even... dude, just break the egg into the pan, just mix it and just pour it into your pan and it fries. Like, it's just single ingredient in foods that you just replace it with the fast food. One, it saves you so much time. I think it actually saves you money, bro. And even if it's less expensive than McDonald's food, is that when you see the benefits of one over the other and the nutrients, the money in the middle does not even matter, because what you're doing is you are paying money for straight up garbage, and you're actually spending, on the other hand, you're actually spending money for food. I don't think McDonald's, Burger King, all those places are called food. It's not food, bro. It's really not. It's
no,
just,
it's not.
It's food for people to think it fills them up.
Like, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know how to put it. Like, literally, when I ate McDonald's last time, okay, not even gonna go to McDonald's. I don't even remember like any feelings of it. It was that long time ago. Let's just say I saw it's hot chicken, right? I mean, that's...
dude, you feel bloated.
That thing, it's that, all that calories. Was really good
food, that was the last time I had something like that.
Yeah, it was really, like, really
before you started 75 hard.
Yeah, dude, something that was like that. That was like summer.
Yeah.
That was really
good though, right?
Yeah.
That was like but a healthy option.
Of course it was good.
But the thing
is, of course it tastes good.
Dude, Chick-fil-A's probably good, bro. Like,
yeah, Chick-fil-A's good. But I mean, I would probably say my favorite fast food right now would probably be a salsa chicken. But whatever, that's besides the point. When you eat those kind of foods, I've noticed you get full fast, but then you get hungry like in 1 hour. At least that's how I am.
It's all temporary.
Like in 2 hours, I'm already like super hungry, like ready to eat another meal. But when I eat homemade food, it's like, yes, I still get hungry, obviously, but not to the point where like I can't take it anymore and it starts to like get into your like.
You know what's the weird thing about the fast
food? Like you can last longer with a healthy food.
100%.
You just can't last long.
Because there's no nutrients.
Because it's all calories. Sugars. Now you want dessert.
Calorie itself is not what actually fills your body with energy or
satiates you.
Calories. All calories do is, and that's what it is in fast food, right? Has so much calories, but then nutrients, nothing. And what that does is it fills you up, and you feel bloated. You feel like you had food, but in reality, all you had was just a bunch of the garbage in your stomach that now fills you up and there's no space for anything else, but it doesn't break down into your and goes into your bloodstream and your cells as nutrients. All it is going straight to shit.
Yeah, I imagine like
the
this.
Money's going to shit.
Like in order to build a house, you need materials, and what you're doing every single day to kind of like support your house is just giving it cheap wood. You're just giving it cheap stuff. And it breaks easily. It breaks easily. Like it might fit the spot that you need it in. It might fit the goal, the calorie goal. But overall, it's just a shit. It's not good. Not a good beam. Not a good place to put in your house, which is your body.
That's why when people bulk, all they're just fat. You know what I mean? They're just fat. And it gets in the way of your health. I was watching this guy, Dr. something. He's a personal trainer. Bald guy, short bodybuilder.
Mike Isertel.
Mike? Yeah. Mike Dr. Mike, yeah. I was listening to him and he was giving advice on how to bulk properly and stuff. He said, don't go above 15 to 20% body fat. You know how low that is compared to how far people take bulk?
Yeah.
Because what he said is then you develop fat cells in your body and it's not in your control. When you get fat, your body produces fat cells. Now your fat cells are always there temporarily asking you and craving for more food. And you have a very hard time to discipline yourself to eat less. And it also is very hard for you to maintain the weight because of all those fat cells. Just produce more and more. And, you know, is it really worth it for the quick results that you're getting for a lifetime of now you have to really every single time worry about disciplining yourself to, you know, eat the specific amount of food and not have to just say, oh, because of one decision, because I wanted to tell him something quick, now I have to live with this. And I don't think having fat cells in your body is actually healthy. It's really not.
No.
The thing is with that is just like when it's almost like if you get too high of a body fat, you just can't build muscle.
Yeah.
You're too much estrogen in your body. You just don't have enough testosterone to actually produce muscle.
Because one of the things that supports building muscle is testosterone itself.
Estrogen is stored in the fat.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because, dude, unless some
I
people...
check myself.
Yeah. Some people also build gyno and stuff. And, yeah, you could say that's genetic, but I always find that interesting. I think it comes from just improper diet, improper lifestyle, and just eating foods that are not... Not red meat. Yeah, exactly. Not red meat. Drinking... what's it called? Drinking milk that is processed, just buy raw milk instead. And if you're too scared of the bacteria, your immune system isn't too strong, then bring it to a boiling point or something. So that way you kill most of the bacteria that your body can't handle.
At least it's not as processed as you're buying from.
At least, yeah, exactly. You're actually heating up something that is raw, something that is healthier. You know what I mean? And you can always have these type of alternatives and... you don't have to try to go out of your way too much when you have things, especially farmer markets that we have now and it's accessible. Yeah, it is a little bit more expensive, but then the portion that you get is worth it because now you're healthier. Nothing, you will never regret being healthy. You're never going to sit down and say, oh, I spend money on healthy food. You're really never going to do that. But you will sit down and tell yourself, oh, I was saving money for what? Now I have money, but I don't have health. So you will always regret spending less money on bad food, but you will never regret spending more money on good food. So
we kind of drifted away from the
topic. Embrace the opposite of what it is to fall in a rhythm and a lifestyle of degeneration. Decline is bad, incline is good. So anything that takes you away from going up or progressing, finding things that are meaningful, finding things that are taking you up in life, moving you closer to God, moving you closer to finding that mission and your goal, everything is worth it. That resistance, the effort that you put in is always worth it. What would be your guys' closing statements? Anything? Anything else that we...
I think it just comes down to two decisions. You either get better or you get worse, and eventually you're going to feel a taste of both sides, and at the end of the day, you get to choose which one, so you have free will.
You have the free will too.
It's all up to you. It's all your fault, right? It's all up to you. You respond, not anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. God can give you all the calls in the world, but if you don't click that accept button... You ain't answering the call.
Accept the quest, bro. I mean, you're doing all these side quests. You got to do all the main quests first.
Don't let the world shape you. Don't let the social media shape you. Do not let the new degenerates turn you into a degenerate.
Yeah.
Because they think is the right thing. Because they're misformed because of the social media. So stay true and always try to seek for information on your own rather than just even trusting us.
Yeah. Just take what we say as a grain of salt. Do your research. Try things
and
out.
And you'll see that what's it's true.
Yeah.
Yep. Quote of the day.
You want me to do it?
You want to share it?
All right. Wherever there is a degeneration and...
Wherever
there is degeneration and apathy, there also is a sexual perversion, premature old age, grumbling youth. There is a decline in the arts, indifference to science, injustice in all its forms. And it makes sense because what is degeneration? By? It's by Anton Chekhov. And it makes sense because the definition of degeneration is a declining generation. So everything that he just listed there is just a sign of that the generation is declining.
Yeah,
and that's happened to Rome. That's why Rome fell.
Yeah, almost everything like this is you can even see it with the parts of the world or the parts of the place where when degeneracy goes up or when things that like we listed are not morally and ethically right are the things that go down. Every single one of those. We talked about with Dan about art and what's kind of happening with art, how art's changing. It's not at its worst, but it's also not at its best. It can definitely be better, but because of what's going on in the world with social media and the influence of the future generation, how kids think, what kids talk about nowadays, all they do is just go on their phones and have the information that I personally think they should not have. They should be living more in the present. They should be living more like human beings and not like robots. Because when you see a two-year-old that is addicted to phone and starts crying because they don't have a phone and is not being disciplined by the parent, that they do not need that, is definitely going to be a challenging one for the future generation. So we are also the future generation. So we better think about the generation that's coming up because that's really all we can do is to shape the knowledge and the minds, the influence positively. So when they grow up, they will at least have something positive to lean on.
I was going to say something and I forgot. I was going to cook something and I forgot.
You're still going to have time.
Shout out of the day.
Marley Chris, 5250. These are facts, gentlemen. Fire emoji.
Did it turn off?
Do you know who this is?
Don't worry about
it. Yeah, that's Christian Ferrari.
Yes, yep, sir. Ferrari. Shout out to Ferrari.
Yeah.
Ferrari, if you're actually watching this episode till the end and you actually are hearing us giving you a shout out, we want you on this podcast. Sometime really, really soon.
Come on, Christian.
It's going to be fourth time us having Christian on?
Yeah, fourth time.
We'll see.
Probably first time in new first season. Guided,
so. Yeah, first time in new season. Yeah. Christian, dude, this guy's just...
We're talking about a journey.
He's definitely out of Matrix. He's definitely the guy that thinks outside the box. Love speaking with Christian. And it's always a very, very insightful and deep conversation with you, my man.
Yep. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, bro.
Because you cook with love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. You
know. George, what's the first couple episodes? What did I think?
Yeah. No.
I mean, hold up. I don't even know, bro.
Yeah, you're good, man. Right? Yeah, you're good. All right.
Yeah, if you're still watching our video, thank you so much. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the feedback. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know what you guys want us to talk about. Subscribe to our channel. Share the video. So.